tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And we're told in the Word of God that Jesus is the Word, down from heaven, fresh from 2 Kings this morning, book of 2 Kings. We'll begin looking at the fourth chapter, and we'll read verse 8, and then perhaps go a little bit farther. What a wonderful opportunity it is just to come out to the house of the Lord this morning. And as the songwriter said, and we sang, we're so thankful to God that He has sent His blessings. He has showered us with blessings. They're too numerous to even tell. Sometimes it would be good, and I do, just start writing the blessings God has given us. And the only trouble I have in that is the starting place. Because you start thinking about, well, God bless me this time, and I go back to my childhood. But then I have to go back farther than that, because I had the great mother and father, thank God for that, and great grandparents. So God's been good all the way through. Let's look at the text this morning in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, who was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. What was interesting is I was thinking a few days ago what God may give me for the message this morning. And I was trying to think about mothers and everything. It's Mother's Day. We celebrate. We honor our mothers. It's living. We honor those mothers that's gone to glory. And we have a great heritage in America that we have a day set aside to do that. But I was thinking, this is the only place that I can find the Word of God that God says a great woman. Her name is not mentioned. In this particular verse, we're introduced to this great woman. She was a Shunammite, and we don't know her beginning. We know a lot about her, though. And I'm interested because God doesn't use that word great very often. I went through every time the word great was used in our King James Bible, and I looked at the adjective form and what he was describing. And only one other time did he. Now there's a word great. A lot of people call themselves great. The Syrians were good at that. They were calling our great king. God didn't say great king. They did. But I'm interested in the fact that God said this was a great woman. We realize that God had already determined and made Elisha great. He was that prophet that did all those miracles. Remember when Elijah had come down, and Elisha just out there, an old farm boy. I'm an old farm boy, I'm not much. But he was out there plowing oxen, and Elijah came by and threw his mantle on him, and he sacrificed, and he went after Elijah. He was there when he was. We know a lot about Elisha, but we don't know up to this point much about the Shunammite woman. But God only mentioned the very few time, and he used that word adjective to describe people. Now, you and I say great. I had a great journey. I had a great heritage. And our definition of great depends on the circumstances who said it. But when God uses the word great, one other time that he used that in 2 Samuel 19, verse 32. Now, Boaz the Eel was a great age man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of substance, for he was a very great man. God doing the writing, and he describes this man that was 80 years old because he had helped David. He had provided for King David. And we serve Jesus Christ, and he said, if you've done it to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. Very few times. God did use the word greater and said, John the Baptist, there's no greater man than John the Baptist. We'll deal with that later on in the message. But now we have this woman, a Shunammite woman. I want to speak to you this morning concerning the attributes of a great woman. Not my term using the word great, but remember, God is doing the describing. He used it very seldom, the only time I can see. Oh, there was a lot of great women by our standards. Of course, Mary, was great. But God didn't say that. But God did say the Shunammite. So let's look at the attributes. She must have had a lot of great attributes. We don't know all of them, but we do know many of them because he tells us about it here in the Word of God. Great attributes that she had. Let's look at the text. And first of all, we see that her perception was great. She perceived that this was God's man. You know, that says a lot about someone, the attributes of a person, and God doing the describing, that she perceived that this was a great man of God. See, the Holy Ghost helps us. When we're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and we're living for him, then he gives us that perception. So the first thing that we know about an attribute of a great woman that God said was great, she had a great perception of the things of God. What greater thing can you say about any mother or any woman than they perceive that they know what God wants them to do? And her hope, desire was that this is a God-sent man, and I want to do something to help. Now, her husband was a very old man at this time. The Bible tells us that her husband was very old. So she had servants, so they must have been pretty well to do. They had servants, and they had an estate there up in the mountains, not that far from Elisha. And as Elisha was going to and fro doing God's bidding, remember he stayed around Mount Carmel, that he would often pass down that road. And in the traveling, God helped her perceive, he showed her that this was my man. And anytime you do anything to help my man, then you're in my will. So not only did she want to help give him food while he was passing through, but she wanted to go farther. And the next verse says, and she said now to her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. The perception that God gives us, that was not her own perception, it was God had given her that desire and that ability to discern. Oh, discernment is a wonderful thing. You know, our discernment within ourselves, not much. You know, I discern what kind of car to buy, I discern this. But when you get in the will of God and let the same mind, which is in Christ Jesus, dwell in us, then she knew that this was God's man, and she wanted to do something about it. Let's see what she wanted to do about it. She wanted to provide. So we see, first of all, her perception, her attribute was great perception. God calls that great. But now her provision that she wanted to provide for God's man. And anytime you provide for the things of God, then he, by definition, is going to call that great. So she says in verse 10, let us make a little chamber, talking to her husband, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. Was in motels in those days, so as he was traveling a long journey from the places God was sending him to be used of God, back to home, she saw him coming. And a meal had been provided, and she realized that this is not good enough. We provide a meal, but he's still got a long way to walk home. And she asked her husband. She wanted to make provisions for the things of God, was her attribute. Let's make a room, and there we'll furnish that room so when he passes by, he can eat and be refreshed and have a good night's rest, and then he can go on his journey for God. That's what God calls great, great perception, and now great provision from her to someone else. Well, let's look at the purpose she had. What's the reason she's doing that? See, God not only looks at what we do, whether or not we perceive what he wants, and what we provide by God-given us means to help the cause of Christ, but also he looks at the purpose. Now, what purpose does this lady have in doing that? Does she want to be recognized in the Word of God? No, she don't know anything about that yet. She just knows it within her heart. And now Elisha has been staying here, seemed like for a long time, and he says to his servant, this woman has been providing for us. And if you know anything about God's Word, when you start serving God and you start providing for the things of God and you start perceiving what he wants you to do and you do it, God's going to bless you. You don't have to ask for the blessings. It's automatic. God will bless you. So Elisha says to the servant, what can we do for this woman? So he calls the woman before him. I know the king, and he did. Put a good word for you to the king. No. What about some of the other people that serve high in the cabinet? Put a good word in for you. So we understand her purpose was not to know or to be known or to get recognition. She says, no, I dwell among my people, and all I'm doing it is for the cause of God. The purpose she had, the attribute that she had, was serving God because I love him, because I want to help someone along the journey. And if you do those things, you will be called by God in his precious word, great. And Elisha says, no, now we have to do something. God just isn't like that. When you do great things for the right reason, you perceive and you provide for the right purpose, God's going to bless you. It's automatic. He's got to do it. And the servant said, well, I know this about her. Her husband's very old. She doesn't have any children. And I've been around her long enough to know that deep within her heart, she would like to have a son. Elisha says, that's not a problem. Because difficulty is not a problem with God. God doesn't have any problems. So he called her back before him and said, at the time of life, you're going to have a son. And she doesn't necessarily ask for it whatsoever within her heart, maybe, but she doesn't ask for anything, remember. The purpose is serving God with no reward. Boy, doesn't that say a lot for some individual. We know God will bless, but that's not the reason we serve him. We just go down life's road, and if we really love him with all our heart, we start receiving from him, what can I do? What can I do that he would be pleased with me? Remember, I learned this as a little child, and Dad never gave me a lecture in his life. Didn't need to. I just followed him. And I realized real early on, when Dad tells me to do something, if I do it without frowning, if I just do it because he's my dad and he knows best, things are going to go really good with me around here. I learned that by default. And the same with my mother, a godly mother that I had. And now this Shunammite woman is learning also that it just pays to serve God. No rewards expected. You just love God. And now by that time, just as Elisha said, she had a son. So we see the perceptions. We see the provision she's got. And we see the purpose she's doing it all to serve God. But now let's look down the road a while because God's not only calling her a great woman for the fact that she was going to give a place for Elisha and raiment to wear, no doubt, and food to eat. But he looked down the road. What will she do with this son? Will she rear him, tell him about the things of God? Will she make sure that his heart is prepared for a place after death? You see, the responsibility God gives us, and we know by the word of God that we're to raise our children and rear them, knowing to fear God. The beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. We teach our children a lot. We send them to school, and we want the school to teach them a lot, and they do. But the best thing any of us could teach our children is to fear the Lord, because that is a real beginning of wisdom. So now the child had grown. Elisha's still stopping by with his servant, no doubt. And the child is growing, and the child is not grown, but he has grown. And now his father's out in the field, and he goes out to help his father, maybe to visit his father. And he starts, my head. So a lad is called by the father and take him to his mother. Boy, there's something about mothers that knows what to do, isn't there? I remember when our two little boys were little, and sometimes if Sandra had a fever or she was sick, and I would say, now, boys, you know Mom's sick tonight. If you have a need, don't call Mom. Wake her up. Call me. Well, if they were have a sore throat or something that night, I could hear them whisper, Mom. Don't call mom, call me. They know a mother. It's so wonderful that we have mothers. And so the dad didn't know what to do. Take him to his mother. She knows what to do. And she did. Let's look at the fourth thing. Not only the perception, the provision, and the purpose. But let's look at the preparation she is making now for the resurrection. Because he's going to die. She knows he's going to die. She doesn't tell anybody about it. She goes up and lays him on the prophet's bed. She doesn't tell her husband. In fact, her husband says, is it well? It's well, not a problem. I'm just preparing him for the resurrection because I know God promised to give him to me. And I know God will resurrect him, though he may be dead. This is a picture of the resurrection, of course. So she said, just saddle me some transportation. Send the servant out there to saddle an ass and prepare it because I'm going to the man of God. So she starts that long journey, her and her servant, to the man of God. The man of God, of course, sees her in the distance and observes, that's a Shunammite woman. Something special about her. And then she goes up, is it well with you? Yes. Is it well with your husband? Is it well with everything? And she says, it is well. Wait a minute now. It's well. Her son's laying on the prophet's bed and he's dead. But she is preparing him because she knows and she realizes that God has given her this faith to know that she's just waiting on a resurrection. So she tells the man of God the condition. And he sends a servant ahead of time and says, when you get there, lay my staff, which is a power, represents the power of God, lay it upon the lad. And so she and Elisha journeys back home. And Elisha goes up to the room. He lays himself on the child and he breathes. And then the child is resurrected. She has prepared him. She has full faith that my God will take care of all your needs. She is preparing him for the resurrection. Didn't tell her husband. The sincere, although the husband was there, the only time you can do, the only preparation that you have, mothers and fathers, for your children is to give them to God. Give them to God. We rear them right, and we teach them by example about preparing everything and about providing everything and how to perceive that God and how to do everything. But the only real way that we can prepare a child's heart for the resurrection that's going to come, because in Adam all men die, and in Christ Jesus all people can live. But how can I make sure that I prepare my child for a resurrection of the body when they die? One way, get to God, the power of God. Don't you think this is probably the attribute that God looked at her and designated and gave the fact that she is a great woman? Attribute she had. What greater thing can you do, mother? You may build your children great houses, and you may provide the best education, and you give the best health care, and you provide the finest clothes. But the greatest thing a mother can do is to prepare their children for the kingdom of God. And she's doing that. But now, life goes on. Let's turn our Bibles over, please, to the 8th chapter of the book of 2 Kings. 8th chapter book, 2 Kings. Life keeps going on, and God's going to do a great work within her heart. There's no doubt about that. And when God does a great work within her heart, he expects us to do everything we can. Now, she's God's servant. Don't forget that. Her son's well, been resurrected. He was dead, but now he lives. So the child is growing. And now we see that since God favors his people that has a great perception for the things of God, willing to give great provision for the right purpose, of course, and has made adequate preparations for their children, and God is mindful of that person. Let's see how God favors this particular Shunammite woman. In the chapter 8, verse 1 of 2 Kings. Then spake Elisha unto the woman, whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord has called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. We don't find in the Word of God where Elisha went to anyone else to tell them. Now, God had told him, Elisha, too, has great perception, of course, and he's going to make great provision. And remember, when you do things for God and you serve him for the right reason, right purpose, God will take care of you. She's already prepared her son. And now a great famine is coming. And the directions for her was, you can't stay here. You've got to leave this place. You cannot go through a great famine for 7 years. So she takes that son. Husband isn't mentioned. Don't know if he's dead or not. But now she is the one that God has called a great woman. And we want to look what happens to her. Let's look at her plight now. What she's going to do, she's going to do what God told her to do. And remember 7 years? That's what's going to happen because the Lord's going to call us home. And while we're home with him in glory for 7 years, it's great tribulation. You talk about famine. All the people left behind. And if you haven't prepared your heart for the kingdom of God, and you haven't got your children prepared, they haven't sought the Lord for salvation, they aren't saved, then they'll be going through this great famine and this great pestilence and all these things, the great depression. But not her. She's faring well. At the end of the 7 years, look what happens. Not only her plight has been right, but now she is going to be presented to the king. At the end of 7 years, she comes back, and God has so arranged it that as soon as she makes entry into the city, she's looking for the king because she's lost everything, she thinks, while she's away, her hand, her land, her houses, her vineyards, everything has been taken by someone else, no doubt. But now she's going to the king, Jehoram. And wouldn't you know it, God has so provided that Elisha's servant is discussing. The very second that she comes into the city's view, Elisha's servant is telling the king, and the king is inquiring about this great man, Elisha. He's heard about him. He's no doubt talked to him before, and I want to know in detail some of the great things that he has done. And he starts proclaiming to the king that Elisha has raised the Shunammite, son from the dead, and there he is with his mother. Instantly. Isn't that something that God has prepared and God has ordained that when she comes back, and now tell him, this is the one. I'm the woman that God has restored my son's life to me. And here he is, a grown young'un now, a grown young man. And the king says, restore to her. And put someone in charge, restoring to her everything she has left behind. And all the fruits of her vineyard. Everything that the trees produce, restoration. Another picture of what's going to happen. See, when we're in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ those 7 years, then we're going to come back and reign with him. And say, oh, what happened to my house while I was gone? I don't know, but I do know one thing. There won't be anything lost. Everything will be restored during that 1,000-year reign. We have seen the Bible declares that the Shunammite woman is a great woman. We've seen seven reasons. Seven attributes that she is called a great woman. The greatest of which I perceive is the fact that she reared her son and she told him and she made sure that he was prepared for the resurrection and that he did revive. Because see, during that famine, they left and he was provided for. Would you stand this morning, your heads are bowed. Mothers, you have children. Fathers, you have children. This is not just, God could call us great too. One other verse I want to read to you while you're standing. I mentioned the fact a while ago that God had decreed and God had said that there is another greater than, no man is greater than John the Baptist. Look at Matthew 11:11. Among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Another person that the Bible says great. Jesus himself doing the talking. But listen to this, mothers and fathers. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. None of us expect to have all the great attributes that the Shunammite woman had. But he says, and John the Baptist, there's nobody ever has been greater than John the Baptist. Of course, Jesus Christ was God, and he was greater. And many times in the Word of God, he mentions the great God and the great Savior and the great Lord with great power. Many times that word is used of Jesus and of God. But now he says there's none greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least among you can be called greater. So see, parents, you don't have to be the Shunammite woman, and you don't have to be a John the Baptist. But if you live your life and you perceive what God wants you to do and you make provision for the things of God in your life ahead of your own, and you prepare your children for the right reason, the right purpose, and then the plight that you go down through earth, and then when you come back with him in glory, we're going to see that our preservation has been kept intact. God's going to restore, and we're going to rule and reign with him. I don't think we're going to lose anything to you. We gain heaven, and we come back, and where he says go, we'll go. God has been so good to us. And every one of us can perceive what God wants us to do. He's no respecter of person. Your heads are bowed, your eyes closed. If you please come play something on the piano or whatever God puts on your heart. What an opportunity it is for mothers. You look back at your children. Maybe they're grown. Maybe they're worldly minded. Maybe they haven't done the things God expects them to do. But remember, there's always hope. This young boy was dead, but now he's alive. Why? And we're born, remember, shaping iniquity. We're born in sin. But the greatest thing any of us could do is point our children toward heaven and grandchildren. And you may be here and your parents are not saved. What an opportunity it is to call on God. See, God has already decreed, yes, John the Baptist was great, none greater, but notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. In God's eyes, we can be great if we put our things, not lay up treasures in this world, but lay our treasures in a place called heaven. What more could be said than what God has already declared in his word about our children? You may have grandchildren. They may not be grown to the age of accountability. They may already be grown. But the best thing we could do, grandparents, we have a lot of grandparents here, and I don't know your children's state, whether or not they're saved or not, but you perceive that God wants you to pray for them daily. The most important thing you can pray for is your children to be prepared and your grandchildren for a place called heaven. Let that lay heavy on your heart, that God's greatness will be how we rear our family for the future and the things of God. How important that is. Many have come and others no doubt need to come. Seek God's face on behalf of their children and their children's children. Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time together in your precious word. Now you've shown us what you call great. The attribute that we know that she had, and no doubt she had many more. But you have revealed these to us in your word. And then you told us, even though none is greater than John the Baptist, we could be least in the kingdom of heaven. And you said still could be greater than he. We're not serving you for greatness or recognition. We're doing like the Shunammite woman. We want her purpose to be right, that we love you. We sung this morning, the love of God. And that love has been placed within their heart. We can understand and prepare our children and their lives for the future. You are our future. And there's none greater, Father. And I pray that you'll help us today to be like-minded. And that likeness will be to look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. The one that came down from heaven, born of woman, and yet still full God, while you were full man. And that you died for our sins. And we teach your children that. And we give them to God, but that's all we can do. It took the staff, and it took the prayers, and it took God to raise him. The mother got him there, but that's all she could do. And all we can do is get our children to the throne of grace, and there we can find help. And we're trusting you, Father, that every person under the sound of our voice this morning will do everything in their power to live our life pleasing to you, that we may know what you expect us to do and want us to do, and empower us to do it. This human, that woman, could do nothing within her own, but you gave her the power, the desire. You promoted it, and you blessed it. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, we humbly pray. Amen.